normally in the villages, the construction of the houses are mud, but in the cities, the construction is more concrete and the level of the water didn't destroy completely the house, as in the villages, but yes, the rest of items that they have in the house, they cannot use it anymore. So in the big cities, it's just a matter of time of waiting the level of the water to decrease and to give them, again, new utilities and basic items. In the villages, it takes more time as the houses are more damaged because one of the main items for these structures is mud. So to rehabilitate takes more time.
Are you able to resettle the village people in the cities because of the sturdier construction of the homes there?
Well, some of them are using schools or common civic centers in the areas, or they are reallocated with families and friends. But we need to think first that it is not really new for them. We are in the rainy season in Africa. Of course, we are facing more than the previous years, but for them it's common, these type of situations. We will reallocate and we will try to rehabilitate and to take them back as the normal life as soon as possible, but we don't know exactly how much time it's going to take. And it is an emergency that we don't have too much visibility on media. There's no news on TV or newspapers or radios about it. It's quite difficult.
Now, how does that affect your funding priorities? Does the lack of publicity hurt your ability to raise funds and provide adequate food, for instance, to get into the area now that you need it so badly?
Yeah, of course. I mean, the appeal launched by the International Federation of the Red Cross is not really covered. So it's one of the main priorities to talk with our principal donors to get some funding. You know, of course, some of the agencies involved in humanitarian aid are involved in the operation, but it's not enough. We still need to give some more publicity, if I may use that word, which is not really correct, but we need to push a little bit for this emergency.
For West Africa, what are Red Cross estimates about what it's going to take to get farmers to recover their planting schedules and their harvests?
Well, depends on how far it's going to go the rain season. And if rains too much, it's going to take time to get back. Normally, it's something cyclical to that area. Because of the rainy season, they're not expecting now to plant anything. But if the level of the water remains longer than as usual, then we pass over that time and it's going to be a problem. Right now, we are not in that problem, but let's see how is the evolution of the level of the water for this operation. We need to get them back as soon as possible because we are right now focused on non-food items and shelter issues for the families, not for food security, or we are still not thinking that there is a food problem. We are still in the rainy season and they are not used to planting during this time of the year. Right now, the problem is the non-food items and the shelter.
How significant has the weather pattern been that the floods are continuing in West Africa, or have they quieted down quite a bit?
We are expecting a bit of more rain during these days. We don't know exactly how much after the mid-August and late August when it starts to rain quite heavily. The level of the water, of course, already decreased a lot, you know, and now we are more operational as in terms of logistics. It's easier to arrive and to get to different villages, not only in the capitals, but we are still expecting some more rain. The prediction is more rain now at the end of September, beginning of October.
How many countries are we talking about, and how large is your rescue area involved with the flood emergency?
Well, we are talking about 16 countries. Mainly, we are focusing in Senegal and Burkina Faso. They are the two countries that, we also did some in Mauritania and Mali. But basically, we are focusing in Senegal and in Burkina Faso, where we have our operation.
And how many people are you unable to reach at this point?
Good question. As some of the teams are still trying to reach some villages out of the big cities, and we don't have exact quantities of beneficiaries or people that need help. Generally speaking, we are talking about 500,000 people in the 16 countries. our plan of action for Burkina Faso and Senegal, we are talking 8,000 families in Burkina Faso and 5,000 families in Senegal. But we are reviewing now all these figures as the level of the water are decreasing, and it's easier to reach some of the areas that it was quite difficult before.
How would you describe your cooperation with Senegalese and Burkinabe officials, as well as counterparts from other NGOs that are working with you on this emergency relief?
It's very good. Burkina and Senegal are two countries that we really work a lot with. We have programs all year long. We reinforce our delegations there, and the International Federation of the Red Cross launched this appeal for this operation, but we have permanent offices in all the countries. So we are quite integrated in the country, so the coordination is quite good. In all the western coast of Africa, I mean, especially the Spanish Red Cross, we have a lot of collaboration with them, as we really try to work hard with the countries of origin of the immigrants. We try to do the whole cycle. We try to work in their home countries. We, of course, work in the rescue operations, and we receive them at the beach. And after that, we also try to give them some legal advice and then to try to integrate it for those of them that continue in Spain, to give them some help or some advice how they're supposed to integrate it in Spain.